our text today speaks to a place between relief and responsibility. The worst has happened. Jesus has been crucified, buried, and raised. The women have seen the risen Lord and carried his message to the disciples. Now the disciples make their way to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. They are obeying, but they aren't walking there excited. They carry grief and shame and confusion and fear and memory. They know they ran. They know Jesus, or they know Judas is gone. They know Peter denied Jesus. Everything has changed. But they don't know yet what life is going to look like next. But this is truth. It's what we live. See, Matthew doesn't give us a polished picture of strong disciples ready to take over the world. He tells us they worship Jesus, but they still, at least some of them, doubted. Faith and hesitation stand together. See, and it shows us Jesus doesn't wait for his followers to have perfect confidence before he calls them into mission. He comes near to people whose hearts are still catching up with resurrection. The Great Commission begins with Jesus' authority and ends with his presence. And that order matters. The mission of the church doesn't rest on our strength or cleverness or size or money or ability to have every answer. It rests on Jesus. He sends ordinary disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the life of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to live his way. It's not a call to build a social club. It's a call to help people come alive in the grace and truth of Christ. Matthew tells us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he shows us that God with us is also God sending us. The church doesn't go alone. The triune God draws near in love and sends ordinary disciples with an extraordinary promise. So listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I imagine that some of the disciples, as they made their way out of Galilee, felt the same way we do when something is pressing hard. Those times when the air feels different, something has ended, and something else has not yet taken shape. The resurrection had happened. The women had brought the message. Jesus had told them where to go. But resurrection joy does not erase everything in a single sweep. They still remembered the courtyard, the fear, the running, the hiding, the silence after the cross. They weren't walking up that mountain with confidence. They were walking with bruised hearts and unfinished faith. Matthew tells us they worship Jesus, but some doubt. I am so thankful that he tells us that. He could have cleaned up the story. He could have made the disciples look stronger than they were. He could have given us a scene where everyone stands tall and knows exactly what comes next. But Matthew tells the truth. They worshiped, but some still wavered. Most of us know what it is to worship while still carrying questions. We sing, but we're worried. We pray, but we're tired. We show up not because everything is settled, but because somewhere deep down, we know Jesus is still worth showing up for. And notice what he does. He doesn't scold them. He doesn't tell them to go away until their faith is stronger. He doesn't hold their failure over their heads. He comes near. Think of that. Before Jesus sends them, he draws them to him. Before he gives a command, he gives them himself. The risen Lord steps toward worshiping, wavering disciples and speaks. That is who God is. God doesn't love from a distance. The Father sends the Son. The Son enters our flesh, our grief, our sin-scarred world. The Spirit breathes life into fearful people. The triune God is not cold, removed, or hard to reach. God draws near in love. Matthew has been telling us this from the beginning. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God watching from far away, not God waiting for us to climb high enough. God with us in weakness, fear, obedience that trembles, and worship that is sincere even when our faith has a limp. Then Jesus speaks of authority. All authority belongs to him. The one who was mocked now reigns. The one who was crucified now stands risen. The one whose hand still bears the marks of love now sends his people into the world. The disciples might have come expecting comfort, but Jesus doesn't give just comfort. He also gives mission. He doesn't gather them only to reassure them. He gathers them to send them. Now, most of us like comfort much better than commission. We want Jesus to calm us, heal us, forgive us, and stay close. And he does all of that. Thanks be to God, he does all of that. But the Jesus who comes near also says, go. Grace sends us back into the world. And what are we sent to do? We're not sent to win arguments. We're not sent to build our own little kingdoms. We're not sent to make people sound religious. Jesus sends his followers to make disciples. And that is way slower work than sometimes we want. Making disciples takes patience. It takes relationships. It takes teaching and listening, truth and mercy, forgiveness and correction, prayer and practice. It means helping people learn the way of Jesus until his love shapes their choices, words, homes, habits, and hopes. You know, sometimes as a church, we can forget this. Oh, we can maintain buildings, plan events, hold meetings, print bulletins, and keep the calendars full. But Jesus didn't say, go and stay busy. He said to make disciples. Those other things can serve the mission, but they can't replace it. The mission is becoming followers of Jesus. And Jesus says this mission is for all nations. And that little word, all, can push the church beyond every comfortable boundary. The gospel is not for people who already know how to act in church. It's not for one culture, one town, one family, one race, one political tribe, or one kind of personality. The grace of Jesus Christ reaches people we understand, and it also reaches people that we do not. It reaches people who come with wounds and questions and histories we may never fully know. This is where, as a church, we have to be honest. We are better at loving the idea of all nations than actually loving the people God puts in our path. All nations sounds inspiring until all has a name, a face, a problem, an opinion, and a story that makes us uncomfortable. But Jesus doesn't give us permission to shrink his mission to our preferences. The same grace that reaches that wounded group of disciples on a mountain is the grace he sends into the world through them. He tells them to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This mission is not just human kindness with words added to it. It's the life drawn into the love of the triune God. The Father claims us, the Son saves us, the Spirit makes us new. Baptism marks us as God's people before we understand all God will do with us. Then Jesus teaches them to teach obedience. Now that can kind of scare us off a little bit. Obedience sounds heavy if we hear it apart from grace. But Jesus isn't talking about cold rule keeping. He's talking about life shaped by his way, his love, forgiveness, prayer, truth, mercy, courage, and a foundation built on the rock. That kind of obedience isn't a cage, it's freedom. It's what God, through his grace, grows in us when Jesus becomes more than an idea. Discipleship means we keep learning how to live as people who trust him. Now, if Jesus stopped there, we might feel a little crushed. Go to all nations, make disciples, baptize, teach, obedience. That's a large mission for 11 wounded disciples. It's a large mission for any church. It's larger than our energy, larger than our wisdom, larger than our budget. It's larger than our courage. But Jesus doesn't end with their ability. He ends with his presence. I am with you always. That is the promise that makes the mission possible. Not, I was with you. Not, I'll check on you. Not, I'll be with you when you get it right. No, I am with you always. And that is the heart of this sermon. It's the heart of our lives. God with us becomes God sending us. And God sending us remains God with us. So maybe the question is not whether we feel ready. The disciples surely did not. The question is whether we trust the one who sends us. Jesus still draws near to ordinary, unfinished people and sends us toward neighbors, children, strangers, skeptics, friends, and people we find hard to love. We don't carry the mission because we are impressive. We carry it because Christ is risen. We don't witness because we have no doubts. We witness because Jesus meets us in mercy. We don't make disciples by our own strength. We join the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves the world far more than we ever could. So go from the mountain. Go from worship. Go even if your faith still trembles. Go to the person who needs grace. Go to the conversation you've been avoiding. Go teach, serve, listen, baptize, forgive, invite, and love. And as you go, remember the promise that holds you. The risen Christ is not behind you as a memory. He's not above you as a distant ruler. He is with you. Always. Even to the end. Bow your heads with me, please. Risen Christ, you have met us in worship and reminded us of your promise. Now send us out as people who trust your authority, live by your grace, and share your love. Help us make disciples through our words, our mercy, our patience, and our witness. Keep us faithful, humble, and brave, knowing you are with us always. In Jesus' name. Amen.